This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Pool Park, a family-owned business that's been around since 1964, specializes in above-ground and semi-in-ground pools, hot tubs, water care, and pool service and maintenance. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Guess what? This show is going to be doing a live remote broadcast. First one we've ever done with Wisconsin Sports Daily coming up here in the next couple of weeks at Pool Park in Menominee Falls. So stay tuned for more details on that. You are going to notice that we are going to be out much, much more than we were previous to all heck breaking loose on this station. Much more. So you will be able to come out and meet myself. Maybe Charlie will be out there with us from time to time, or maybe Charlie will be out there and I'll be back here. Who knows? But we'll be out and about for sure in the future. All right, joining us now, he is Tim Mumma of BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Tim, thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Before we get into the Brewers, I'd like to make you aware of a situation happening. Braves and Mets have canceled their next two games for today and tomorrow because of forecasted weather impacting the Atlanta area, which now means both games have been rescheduled as part of a traditional doubleheader on Monday, September 30th. The first game beginning at 1:10 Eastern, game two will begin approximately 40 minutes after the last out of game one. Why is this a big deal? Well, because the Brewers are waiting to see who they're going to play as the sixth seed, probably. The Brewers face the New York Mets this weekend at American Family Field, which means there is a chance that the Mets will still be in this thing. It might be still be playing for something. And they'll have to go to Atlanta after Sunday's afternoon's game, play two games Monday, and then possibly have to come back to Milwaukee to play on Tuesday. I was telling Charlie Usen, there is no way whoever my starter is going to be in game one of the wildcard round stays in Milwaukee. They're not traveling with us. They're staying there and waiting for us to get back if we're able to get that last wildcard spot. That is a horrible situation for David Stearns and the Mets.
You know, I mean, just it's crazy that MLB wasn't trying to get in front of this. I saw lots of that chatter earlier today. Just everyone knew these storms and these floods and hurricanes around, and just trying to get those games in, at least get one of those games in, maybe yesterday as part of a doubleheader or whatever. But, I mean, man, I already didn't want to face the Diamondbacks as the Brewers, but now I mean, that could be just a huge advantage if either team, even though Atlanta wouldn't have to have the same travel necessarily as the Mets. I mean, that would just be chaotic for them to have to play possibly a doubleheader before they get into the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to say it's unprecedented, but that certainly sounds like something I can't recall something to that extent happening. And it might not. They might not have to play those games, or they might only have to play one of those games. But either way, it could be a lot of chaos for those teams. And like you said, for the Mets, it would be even worse, just the bouncing back and forth of the travel. I'll be very curious how that plays out in the next week.
As a Brewers fan, I want all the chaos. Bring me the Mets dead dog tired after a doubleheader on Monday. We got play on Tuesday. Back in Milwaukee, no off days separating any of this travel. Like, it's insanity for Major League Baseball to expect them to be able to get through this.
Yeah, and they can't. There's no way they're moving the game one game either. So they're just going to have to deal with it. And I know, look, the whole season, baseball players deal with weird travel and these back-to-backs and, you know, 17, 18 days in a row. But it's just different when you're talking about the end of the season, fighting to get into the postseason, and then, oh, yeah, let's ratchet it back up to try to beat a team, you know, in a best of three.
Hey, we don't have a game time for Sunday, but isn't the deal with Major League Baseball, they try to have all the games played at the same time on the last day of the year? Isn't that a thing? So
on Sunday, it's all around the same time, right?
Right. So I wonder if the Mets will put in, if I was David Stearns, I'd be talking to Manfred right now going, look, you're screwing us with this doubleheader on Monday. We still may need to go play both those games just to get into the playoffs. We want an earlier start time. We want an 11 a.m. start time on Sunday to allow us time to get to Atlanta, rest up Sunday night, and be ready to play on Monday. We don't want a 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon start in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm sure all those things are in play. Again, I can't believe the Mets and Braves weren't talking to MLB all leading up to this. Maybe they were in MLB. It's just we're going to wait and see. So who knows? If I'm the Brewers, I guess I wouldn't fight it too hard. I mean, they still have to do all that travel.
Right.
If they want to move the game up early,
I'd move it, sure.
Fine. Yeah, but either way, like you said, the Brewers are kind of sitting pretty when it comes to that. Now, we can say that, but the Brewers are 1-9 in the last 10 postseason games, so I'm not going to take anything for granted, that's for sure.
Because the last time I saw I thought I saw a game time of like 2 o'clock or something like that on ESPN or whatever for that game on Sunday. Well, the Packers play at noon on Sunday. So, you know, for the Packers, we want to play this at 10 a.m. That would be in front of the Packers game. That might be okay, too, even though I'm sure they wouldn't want to play coming off of a game the night before. All right, so let's talk about this piece that you wrote on Brewer Fanatic, which really is coincides with who we had on earlier. We had Mark Simon on earlier from Sports Info Solutions talking about Sal Frelick leading baseball and runs saved in right field. Bryce Terang having a chance at the Platinum Glove at second base from the NL this year and being the best second baseman and runs saved in Major League Baseball there. As far as, yes, we give a lot of love to Chris Hook, a lot of love to this pitching staff, but this defense probably has a lot more to do with it than anything.
It really is surprising when you actually look at the numbers. I mean, of course, you know, you're going to naturally look at ERA, and you see that, I think, coming into the week, the Brewers were second in baseball in ERA. And, you know, that's the go-to. That's the traditional number. But I don't know, just after watching this rotation for the last few weeks and not really having any great feelings about anyone except maybe Peralta, and I was feeling pretty good about Montas until his last outing. Of course, Murphy claims he was tipping his pitches. Fine. I hope that was the case. But it just got me thinking a little bit, and watching the Diamondbacks series, they just seem to get all these really kind of lucky bounces and finding grass, and that happens. But you look at it, then it's like, man, the pitchers, if you look at some of the more advanced stats, like FIP, fielding independent pitching, they're not very good when you compare them to the rest of the league. In fact, they're 23rd, I think it is. But then you look at the defense, and they are really what clean up all the messes. And, of course, we all know they've robbed like a million home runs this year, and you see the great plays all over the place, but it's just more making the routine plays, being in the right position, those quick first steps that you don't even see because the camera's transitioning from the batter to the fielder. Like, their defense.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is really phenomenal. I mean, one of the best that really we've seen in the last 25 years. And not only that they've been good to great, but that they're really cleaning up messes for the pitchers and being able to thwart big innings, turning double plays, stealing outs when they can. It's really hard to see, and over the course of a season, it really adds up. The question is, in a short series, is it as impactful, or would you rather have an ace on the mound? Who, by the way, we've had that, and it hasn't worked out all that great in the playoffs either. So I think it's going to be something really, really intriguing to watch during the series, especially again to face the Diamondbacks, because they seem to just be one of those pesky teams that also hits home runs that really give them fits.
Talk with Tim Mumma of BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Lots and lots of great content at Brewer Fanatic. If y'all don't check that website out, you're way behind the times. A lot of in-depth stuff that you're not going to find elsewhere. Make sure to check out BrewerFanatic.com today. Well, let's talk a little bit about this postseason roster. Charlie and I were kind of getting into looking at the pitchers yesterday and trying to figure out, are they going to keep 12 or are they going to keep 13? As we kind of got to like 9, we were like, man, there's no way they're keeping 13. Like, it's a struggle once you get past 9 to really kind of figure out really what you want without kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I really want that person in a playoff game necessarily. So would you guess they're probably keeping 12 at this point?
Assuming they're going to be in the wild card series and not somehow sneak into the LDS, yeah, I think it's 12. I think you want an extra option as a pinch runner or as a bat off the bench, and you don't have to go as deep with your pitching staff. The biggest thing for them is going to be matchups. I think you see it a little bit in what they're trying to do here down the stretch. Someone like Joe Ross, you know, he should really only be facing right-handers as much as possible because he does a great job with them. And we saw he might not be great back-to-back, back-to-back days. So that's like one option there. Hobie Milner, who I think everyone, including myself, left for dead about 3-4 weeks ago, he's looked terrific. And with all the question marks of Brian Hudson lately, Jack Stern from Brewer Fanatic wrote an article, I think today.
I don't think he's coming back.
Oh, you're talking about Hudson?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They have lots of concerns there. So they like Milner. He's obviously had experience and some of his tough, some of it was tough luck early in the year with him. And he's really kind of come back into form. So if they want just kind of that lefty specialist versus guys like Ashby and Hall and Koenig, who can really shut down guys left and right, Milner's that guy there to get out the lefty.
Here, so I'll tell you, Tim, this is the 11 I got. Myers, Peralta, Savali are the starters. Colin Ray out of the bullpen, Devin Williams, McGill, Pyams, Ashby, Canning, Ross, Milner. That's 11, I think. Yeah, I think so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 11, yes. So then one more on top of that gets you to 12.
So did you not have Montas in there?
No, I don't think Montas is on the wild card round because I don't think they're bringing him out of the bullpen. And he starts on Saturday, and Tim Dillard, when he was on Tuesdays with Tim, this last Tuesday said, if you're starting on Saturday or Sunday, you're probably not pitching in the wild card round.
Yeah, I mean, that very well, that's a fair point. You know, they could also do another short start like they did a planned short start yesterday with Myers. I mean, again, 6 weeks ago, I could have given you, 11 guys in a different order. I could have told you the starting rotation should be this. It just seems to change every 3, 4, 5 weeks. And that's kind of what, what the article about the defense goes, is that I don't know that we've ever really been fully able to evaluate the starting pitchers because they all have their flaws, obviously. That's why they're available. That's why they've bounced around in a lot of cases as far as organizations. But then there are times they do look legit. And then when they keep the ball in the ballpark and don't walk half the batters they face, they're tough because then the defense, they're going to record out. So, I hate to play the whole, well, you throw the hot hand and it's whoever's the hottest going to the playoffs. And that definitely is a factor. But again, I think matchups with who you're facing, I think the Brewers look at that a lot as far as, does this lineup feast on high fastballs? Then we shouldn't throw this guy. Does this lineup struggle with, changeups? Then let's go with this guy. I think there's going to be a lot of that discussion. But in the end, I think, kind of what you're pointing to a little bit is that you got to go with guys you trust. And I think they're still figuring that out as the last week kind of finishes up here.
Just a bit outside, the movie of 1982 Milwaukee Brewers losing the World Series comes out now. I'm telling you, it would be poetic if this team went to the World Series with Pat Murphy as manager, the traitor in Chicago, Stearns in New York. Like, it would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Josh Vernier, who used to be the co-host of on the Big Show, Wendy's Big Show, Charlie brought this up. He was on a couple of weeks ago, and he said this reminds him very much of the World Series teams that the Royals had, where they had a great bullpen. They had some pretty good defensive players like Lorenzo Cain, and maybe no superstars offensively, but good enough players to get the job done when they needed it.
Yeah, for sure. I think you can see the parallels with those Royals teams. I mean, they were locked down in the bullpen, and the Brewers probably have more depth even in the bullpen than the Royals did. They shut down the 7th, 8th, 9th. They had no chance. And to your point, good defense, kind of a lot of scrappy guys, even your stars, quote-unquote, guys like Hosmer and Moustakas at that point. I mean, they were well-known names, but they're still more kind of gritty guys. They weren't superstars by any means. And you know, a lot of that with this team, obviously. You have your guys that you can rely on, and you need them to come through, but then you have guys that are just going to battle and find ways to win, do the job. And it sounds all cliche, and in the end, everyone is going to tell you that home runs are going to win in the postseason. But, you know, the game has changed in the last few years, and it's small sample as far as this new playoff format and how that might affect things in the postseason. So I think there is a window or a path for the Brewers, who are still going to hit their home runs, but maybe find other ways to win with the great defense, with swiping a base, and then giving it to the bullpen, saying, hey, it's all yours. You're the best group we have out of all our units here on the team. If they can get them a lead, I'd feel as good as any team in MLB that they're going to lock it down for us.
Check it out, BrewerFanatic.com. Great piece by Tim Mumma. Great piece by others as well, including Jack Stern. Does a lot of good writing as well. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Always fun. I didn't get to yell at you at all, but maybe next time.
Oh, pretty positive. Well, we'll see how it goes next week. But all I know is I'm pumped up for the playoffs. It's never going to get old to me getting to the playoffs. I hope other people don't take it for granted, because I know it tends to happen, but you just never know when it's not. Look at the Texas Rangers. Look at the Cubs. You never know when you get back.
The Cubs. Screw them. All right. Thank you, Tim Mumma.
Take care,
Steve. There he goes. Tim Mumma joining us.